I want to read just a little bit here in chapter 3 over in the book of Genesis. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. It said, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave of me the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto the dust, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. I want you to notice that one of the outstanding things is that Satan said that the day that you eat thereof, ye shall not surely die. He disputed the word of God. The Bible says that Jesus said, You are of your father the devil. Said he was a liar from the beginning and abode not in the truth. And said he is the father of a lie. He was the one that hatched out the lie. He was the one that brought the lie forth. He was the one that started a lie. And right here you can see where he starts the lie when he says, Thou shalt not surely die. When God said, ye shall die the day that thou eatest thereof, then he says, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now that's true to some extent. It is true because it goes right on over to the 22nd verse. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, that is, as a god. God knew that. He said, for God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes are going to be open, and ye shall be as gods. God did know that. God knew that their eyes would come open if they eat of the tree of knowledge, and this is what would kill them. For even though God said, ye are gods, but ye shall die as men, he knew that they would be as gods to the extent that they would know good and evil, but not be as gods to be able to live eternally like God. They would be as gods. Their eyes would come open, and they would know good and evil. And to him that knoweth good and evil, then it is required of him. As to know good, you must do good. And there is no way that a human being can perform good. It's utterly impossible. Paul said, when I would do good, I find another law warring in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this death? He said, for I have a desire to do good, but how to perform that which is right, I find not. So to know good and evil and not to be able to perform the good is to be a subject of evil or a prisoner of evil. So then God did know that when his eyes come open, or their eyes come open, that they would be as gods, knowing good and evil, but not as gods to live forever. So he didn't want them to do that. He wanted them right then and there to take his word, to have faith in his word, and by faith in his word, he could shield them and they could be transformated into the oneness of God. As it was when God brought them out of Egypt, he brought them out of Egypt and could have immediately taken them into the Canaan land. The map shows it. History gives it. They could have immediately went into Canaan. But because of their unbelief, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness till every one of them died. And so it is here, they fall from the garden and from the presence of God to wander through the wilderness of intellectual confusion and frustration onto Calvary, as to the crossing of the Jordan when John came. So it is a true fact that people are as gods, so much that God even made the statement at the Tower of Babel, that the tower, he said, if I don't go down and confound man's language, he said, nothing will be hid from them. They become as gods. And they said, we're going to build this tower to heaven. Whereas someone would say, they can't do that, Brother Pike, or they couldn't do that. But nevertheless, today they built it to heaven. Though thou climbest up to heaven, makest thy nest among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. And Apollo, going up to check it out, it has to do with the king of the bottomless pit. So then the intellectual, as to the spirit of Apollo or Satan through humanity, has climbed into the heavens and put the little thing they call the nest on the stars. We predicted they would do it, and they did it. So then we see that they did become as gods. But did you notice the very first thing that was revealed to them is that they were naked? And did you notice that in the book of Revelation, as coinciding with the book of Genesis, as to the first of the Bible and the end of the Bible, did you notice that these things running along together, God says unto them, but thou art wretched, naked, and blind. Hasn't changed. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, back then it was so that they were in that kind of condition. But the Bible says that when we read in the book of Revelation, having gone through the entire episode of man's life, having examined it thoroughly at the end of the way, he is still naked. He's not only naked, but by now he hath become wretched. And God says unto him, ye are blind. See, it was said unto them that God doth know that your eyes will come open. Their eyes did come open. That is, their natural eyes as to the natural things of the world. That is, their eyes of understanding to comprehend these natural things that are around. Their eyes did come open, but their spiritual eyes were blinded. Their spiritual sight went out. And when God speaks of them in the beginning, the devil says, your eyes are open. But when God speaks of them in the end, as to speaking of them himself, he said, your eyes are blind. You are blind. So then to be awake in this world is to be blind to the other world. The Bible said concerning the other world, when they awoke, they saw his glory. I say again, time is reckoned from evening until morning. Because man falls out of the presence of God, he leaves the light of God, the knowledge, the understanding of God that we refer to as light. He falls into the darkness, and all the way from the garden over to Calvary, he is still in the darkness. And the light doesn't appear again unto man until Calvary. And then when Jesus comes, he said, I am the return of the Shekinah image. I am the Shekinah light that you lost. I have returned as the light of this world. You've been in darkness, and your eyes have been closed, and you've been asleep. And now I've come to you as the same covering of the great understanding, as to the same knowledge of the great understanding that's referred to as the Shekinah light. I've come to you again to be your covering, that you might not be naked anymore. He said, you cover with a covering, but it's not of me. As to an intellectual darkness of that weird understanding of the shadows of death, you cover yourself with it, but in the sight of God, you're naked, you're wretched, you're blind. And you cannot see when good comes, because the Bible said, the God of this world, even Lucifer, that saveth the things that be of the flesh, that he hath blinded your eyes, even your eyes of understanding, that ye should not see when good cometh. So then, we find that in the end of the world, the people are blind and wretched. And he is saying to them, I counsel of thee to buy of me raiment that's tried in the fire. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So then we can see that all of humanity is lost. All of humanity is in the darkness. All of the humanity of this world, they are asleep. Even the church world is asleep. It said when they awoke, they saw his glory. That at the midnight cry, the cry was given. Arise, trim your lamps, go out to meet him. All of you arise. And so then the whole world is in darkness. And you and I alone, we're the light. We're the light. And this light is on the inside. For the Bible said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. And he said that if you don't do right, I'll move your candlestick. So then life on the inside is spirit. For the body without the spirit is dead. So my candle is the light of the Lord. That it is life. And that life is on the inside. And this light is said to be the light of the world. I don't need a smoky, dirty globe. I need, as it was when they stood upon the crystal sea, I need a crystal clear globe. I need to take this body and make it holy, to wash it in the blood of the Lamb, to wash every spot and wrinkle away, to take away the infiltration of the darkness. As the old lamps, I spoke of it a number of times, if the wick is not exactly straight, then it turns into a weird looking thing like a snake. And it begins to go round and around in that globe. And it smuts up the globe until the light can scarcely be seen. And if it continues, it completely closes the light out. So then God's way is to put His light in with our heart and tell us to wash ourselves in the washing of the water of the Word. Keep on with the mind of Christ and the Spirit of God until there's not left within our human being not one spot, not one wrinkle, not one blemish, until we've completely eradicated all of the infiltration of that weird thing that has smoked up the globe. Our bodies are the containers of that great light. And our bodies are infiltrated. Paul said, within my flesh there's no good thing. Though God has made me perfect forever, though God has made me without spot, wrinkle, or blemish concerning my soul, and though the evil one can never touch me, never, yet I have a job to do as to save myself from this underworld generation, or that is by what God has placed on the inside of me, by this righteousness, by this kingdom of God, by this holiness, I must work from glory to glory and understanding to understanding until I have released from my innermost being into my outer genetics the mind of God, the Word of God, the understanding of God, the love of God, the holiness of God, until I have washed away every spot. I have taken away every blemish. I've taken away all of the infiltration of that evil mind that's represented by the dark light or the smoke or the dark clouds that's filled with thunder and lightning. I must eradicate the darkness. I must keep on moving from glory to glory as I behold as it was His face. That is my face within a mirror as to His open face, that I might be changed into the glorious image of the Son of God. And I am washing, I am eradicating, I am going on to be perfect. I am going on to make my body perfect, to where there's not one thought of my own way of life, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Getting away from Satan, getting away from worldly knowledge, and bringing every thought into the mind of the Lord Jesus, until my body is crystal clear, so far as the veil being rent in twain, it's been taken away by the body of the Lord Jesus, and the only darkness there is about me is the unbelief, and that unbelief is because of my lack of understanding in God, my lack of completeness as to His mind and to develop into His knowledge. And the minister is set there to perfect me as an individual, or we as to you as an individual, until every dark intellectual thought of night be eradicated. And the glorious mind of His thoughts are completely beaming out from this innermost life through this crystal clear body, in that there is not one infiltration in the flesh anymore. God having completely translated and eradicated by His glory. So we have a job to do. We as individuals have a job to do. We have to do something. It is up to me to change my vile, wretched body into the glorious liberties of the sons of God. For the Bible said that the creature itself shall be delivered. The creature itself, which means the body, and the things of this world, the creature, the body, is groaning. It is desiring the manifestation of the sons of God. We are groaning within ourselves, the Bible said. Not that we should be unclothed, in that the spirit should be taken away from the body and the spirit not have, any bodily members to project life through. Paul said not that we should be unclothed. We're not groaning for that purpose, but rather to be clothed upon with our house from heaven, that mortality might be swallowed up in the mortality. For he said there is a terrestrial body and there is a celestial body. There is the flesh and there is the spirit. And he said we're groaning to bring on the celestial. For as we have borne the image of the terrestrial, or the image of the earthly, as to say the first man Adam, so shall we bear the image of the resurrected one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or he said, this is the other temple. This is the other tabernacle or house that we have eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. As I've borne the image of the first Adam, and my spiritual angelic being has tabernacle in that body, that earthly body, so shall I bear the heavenly image of the heavenly Christ, or the Jesus, that the change of the celestial spiritual being might be my covering as to the Shekinah light from heaven. That without spot, without wrinkle, or without blemish. I am waiting, not waiting for the redemption of the body. I am waiting to wit the redemption of my body. I am waiting to grasp the fact that when Jesus said it is finished, it was body, soul, and spirit. And Paul preached a message like this, saying that I want to present you to God, body, soul, and spirit. I want to present you to God, body, soul, and spirit. Why would Paul say that? Because there are things without bodies. There are things without bodies as to the extent of angelic beings. They don't have human bodies. They are spirits. But we are angelic beings that are equal to the angels, and we dwell in the spiritual places. But we also have bodies that we might manifest ourselves as an angelic being through a human form and have the delight of those things that are of the earth, as to the garden experience, as to actually partaking of the fruits and eating those things to the extent that we can enjoy the natural appetite. This is how that the fallen angels got into trouble. They got into men and they got into women and they intermingle themselves that way. And they have fallen from God. And the Bible says they've left their first estate. They had a great estate, a spiritual estate, but they left that estate. And then they have eased back into this world of light, not as to the world of light as of God in the third heaven, but as to the world of light in the second heaven. That is this place between heaven and earth. They have gotten into that place in that they have come in under the blood. And by the grace of God through Calvary, they can live in human bodies and have a day of grace. And because of this, they're working within the flesh, devils and demons, sometimes a legion of devils, as it was with the one over in Gadara. See, working within the human bodies, and these fallen angels are enjoying human passion. That's why people are overcharged with their human passion. God made human passion in a holy, godly way for reproduction, that little ones might be born into the world and he might replenish his kingdom. But demons have turned it into lust. And sin is in the world because of lust. And they live in these bodies. They are cut off from the world of inspiration as to godliness. And they cannot get that God inspiration. So what they have to do is through the shed blood of Jesus, they have to get an inspiration through the mercies of God. So then God has allowed all these things to come forth like doctors. There's ball games, there's all kind of things that bring healing and health and inspiration in this world. So they enjoy this world and they intermingle with one another. And the Bible speaks of this as in that day when these intermingle with women and intermingle with men. This is why you find the acts of sodomy and you find these different kind of things that's in perversion. It is because angels are greater than human beings. And we are made a little lower than a human being, which means we are not the equality of their strength and their knowledge and their power. Like a woman, it's not the strength of a man as to his spirit. He is stronger in his physical strength. And this is showing the difference. See, angels are shown to us as huge figures to show us the difference between angels and men. But in all reality, it's not a huge body. That's the way we think. That's the way he has to deal with us. But it is a power, an authority, a spiritual dimension above humanity that is great and mighty, closer in the realms of God. And so then these angels get into human bodies, and they're so wild with passion. They're so thirsty from wandering through the dry places, trying to get this inspiration as to the waters of life, that they indulge to the extent that when the passions are there, that's not enough to satisfy them. They want to intermingle with one wife and two wives and three wives. You see people that get into three or four marriages. It's because they're demon-possessed. And so then they intermingle with one, and then they intermingle with another. And they're never satisfied. See, because they're so much greater as a spiritual being, they have to have much, much more inspiration. We are as human beings, and our angelic being just requires a certain amount of inspiration, and we are contented, but not with them. You see a demon get into a person, and it's like the big fat man that I've been praying for, that I felt so sorry for. A demon gets into a person, this man, the demon had gotten into him, and he had eaten so much that he could not get up off of the bed. He couldn't raise off of the bed. I felt so sorry when I heard about it. I prayed with all fervency and all compassion. And I told my wife and them, I said, he's going to lose weight. I said, I didn't ask God to do it. God's going to do it. And I understand he's lost 500 pounds, the last thing that we'd heard about it. And now the man can get up and move around. See, it was a demon. The way he's overcoming that, they have presented the word of God to him. And he's beginning to think on the word of God and realize his error and realize his mistake. And the word of God has revealed this evil thing to him. The Bible said, and God sent his word, and he cast out the unclean spirits by his word. When the preacher is preaching, many times unclean spirits are cast out by this word, in that it's not the man speaking, but God speaking from within him. And many times lives are cleaned up. And people who have never served God with holiness, all of a sudden they take on the spiritual mind of understanding, and they begin to resist the devil and the things of the world, and God's Spirit begins to come into them and reprogram their mind to the right thing, and they become decent, upright human beings. So it is that a spirit will get into a person, and it will cause them to literally eat themselves to death because it can't be satisfied. Take a person that eats like that. Their food doesn't really taste right to them. Though they want to eat all the time, there's something that they just can't get satisfied. And it just doesn't taste good to them at all. And it's the same way with passions. You get wrapped up into passions until passions are nothing. No matter how many times you marry and how many times you indulge, there is no human satisfaction to it because it has been misused. And you have become perverted, and the thing sours on you to the extent that eating or drinking or passions or worldliness as to ball games or watching movies or whatever it might be, or gossiping or going or fussing or fighting, it sours on you. And you get to where it's loathsome to you, but you don't know what to do about it. You're bound. You are a child of bondage. You're in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world, by means of the perverted mind of Satan that has come to you through the beast, through the tree of knowledge. And of course, to be carnally minded is death. To be in that, you have the sentence of death within you, because the Bible said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And that sentence of death is within you, because God placed that upon Lucifer, and you must die. It's appointed unto man to once to die. After that, the judgment. But to you and I, the Bible said, God hath abolished death in his flesh. Jesus Christ as God came down and abolished death within his flesh. And he destroyed him that hath power over death. He destroyed him that was causing the death. For every believer, there is no Lucifer. For every believer, there is no death. For every believer, your enemies are bound and destroyed, and you have power over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you, because God has given you his own righteousness through the self-sacrifice of his own feelings through his son Jesus, to where you can never sin against God, because righteousness is not reckoned as to what you do, but as to what you believe. And the Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. Therefore, being justified by faith in the finished works of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have peace with God through those works. What must we do to work the works of God? It's finished, Jesus said. So I am waiting to wit the redemption of my body, moving toward the bar mitzvah. And I spoke of this the other night. I've mentioned this just casually a time or two. When we say the redemption of the body as to the bar mitzvah, we are speaking of the adoption, waiting for the adoption. And I tell you again that though you are born a son of God as to your inter-angelic being, you still must go through the law as to the fulfillment of the law, to where there will not be one jot nor one tittle passing away, until all be fulfilled, that God would bring you through the law, that he might process you to the adoption. For to get a son or a daughter, you must go through the law if it is an adopted son or a daughter. There's no other way to get a son or a daughter legally. You must go through the law. So then this body being born of Adam, it is an alien, or it's alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, as it is said. It is alienated from the things of God, and you are enemies in your mind as to your first birth. So then this first man, Adam, if we are to become God's son, we must be adopted in by the law. Being born of the first man Adam, there is no way that the body can be brought to God unless it comes through the law, and that by adoption. That's why Jesus fulfilled every jot, every tittle of the law, and folded up the body of sin and laid it away and made me a new body. Today I am bone of his bone and I'm flesh of his flesh, and I am a new creature in Christ, and this body is now the body of the Lord Jesus and has been adopted to God by the finished works of Jesus according to the works of the law, where he hath fulfilled all of the law. But the thing is, I am not partakers of that body until I can comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width and the length of what he did for me at Calvary. I've got to be able to move into a place to where I can comprehend that my body is spotless, and that my body is also holy, the same way my spirit is holy. And there's no way that you can understand that unless the preacher brings you the word of God, the word of his law, and the word of his grace to day by day indoctrinate you, to transformate your minds to the place to where you can vividly see what God has done for you, and to where you can by your own understanding through Christ comprehend the redemption of the body. So then we are waiting to wit the redemption of our body, and Thessalonians chains will bring us to it. Someone would say, well, how many years, Brother Pike? How long does that take? Then we'll know how much time is involved in the processing. There is no time involved in the processing. It is not based on days and weeks and years, but it is based on the maturity of the sons of God as to whenever they mature, whenever the church matures. God has placed it in his foreknowledge at the end of the maturity of the church, giving them all the time they need, so far as time element being involved, that they may step by step and through the stride of their endeavors in Christianity move on day after day, as long as it takes. He hath allotted that much time, that when the church is fully mature, Then he will return like that and he will redeem this body. For there is a celestial body and there is a terrestrial body. And as we have borne the image of the terrestrial, so shall we bear the image of the celestial. Or as to the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. So we're moving on toward the redemption of the body. What is the redemption of the body? It's what the world refers to as the rapture. Or what we tell you according to the scripture, the translation. It is the change according to Thessalonians. Changed your bodies, changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye from mortality to immortality. That the corruptible may be swallowed up of the incorruption. That we might appear as the God that he said that we are when he spoke of us in the word. We are gods. Ye are gods. He did not say you're going to be gods. He said ye are gods. He said you've become as one of us. You're gods. Now ye know good and evil. Now then you know what you must do. You must put forth your hand of your own accord to save yourself from this underworld generation. For he said, there is the tree of life. You have eaten of the tree of knowledge. I told you not to eat of it, but you did eat of it. Now then there's only one remedy. As in the wilderness, they had to lift up the brazen serpent because they had murmured and complained until the serpents got them. So they had to lift up the brazen serpent that whosoever looked upon the brazen serpent should be saved from the awful death of the biting of the poison venom. So then, here we are. We have to look upon Christ. To lift up Christ, the Bible says. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. To lift up Christ. We have to look upon Christ. We have to look upon the Word. We have to look in that direction. That God may redeem our bodies and save our bodies. Though we're already changed in the eyes of God, we have something to do. We ate of the tree of knowledge through the weakness of our forefather Adam. Now then, through the redemption, we have to eat of the tree of life. For he said, now man has become as one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and partake of the tree of life, that is, unless he does it, he can't live forever. He must partake. But the Lord was saying, now, lest he put forth his hands and partake of the tree of life. That is to say, unless we wait too late and we allow him with the infiltration of Lucifer within him to get to that tree of knowledge. Unless he does that, we better get him out of here. We better get him out of here till we can process him. We better get him out of the garden, away from the tree of life. Put that covering cherub there, or that flaming cherub there. Put him there to keep the way of the tree of life so he can't get back to it. Because with Lucifer on the inside of him, if he can get to that tree of life and partake of that tree of life, then Lucifer, who is an angel, angels cannot die. He hath gotten himself a body that cannot die, and he can rule and reign throughout eternity, and nothing can change him. Now, lest he put forth his hand and partake of the tree of life, that is, get him out of here. So, we see that we have to put forth our hands and partake of the tree of life. And we can't do it with Lucifer on the inside. God has put the flaming sword there, the cherub, to keep the way of the tree of life. He said concerning the minister, I make him a flaming fire. So then God has put it there. And the only way we can get back is to die. To die out. That is to die out to this life that we have. Paul said, I was alive without the law. When the law came, sin revived and I died. Speaking of the mysteries of God. That is, I had to die in that life of Adam because it was corrupt. And now I've gotten myself a new life, and I've gotten myself a new tabernacle, eternal in the heavens, in the mind of God. Now then, old things have passed away, and I'm in a new world, he said. So he said, back here, as to the veil of Moses and under the law, they die, and no man can see God and live. But here we are on the other side of Calvary, and the veil of death is taken away. As to the first body, as to our flesh, The Bible said, making within himself twain. That is to say, the rending of his body as to the veil that was taken away. That is to rend his body, to keep from rending my body, and to take away that image of death, for he was made in the image of death. So then, in doing away with that body, I am now out of the veil of the shadows that's under the law of sin and death. And I'm over here, and I'm dead to the law. So I can see God now. The eyes of my understanding are open because I am dead. And you have to be dead to see God. So I'm dead to the flesh. I am now alive to the Spirit. I am dead to the flesh. I once was a living soul, but now I am a quickening spirit. And by the washing of regeneration, I am no longer in the old Adam generation. He washed me by the Spirit as to the water of the Word. And in doing it, he changed my angelic being over, changed it over to the generation of the second man Adam, even the one whom was made a quickening spirit. For the Bible said the first man Adam was made a living soul and the last man Adam was made a quickening spirit. He changed me from that generation and he put me over to the other generation by the washing of the waters of regeneration. So, as to the Old Testament teachings, as to the separation of the waters, here I am, as to waters from waters, as people are reckoned as to be waters, as to the waters that is above the firmament, and that which is below the firmament. So then, the waters separated as to a great power of division, that is to say, a firmament, or that is to say, Jesus standing in the midst of the waters, as to Jordan, as to the Red Sea, as when the waters roll back, or that is to say, Jesus hanging between heaven and earth, separating the good from the bad, as to a rent veil, separating and rending the veil. So then we are dead by the body of the Lord Jesus. Free from sin, I now can see God. For no man can see God and live. As in the days of Moses, it was through the veil. But the veil is now taken away. And I can see the Lord. So I am waiting to wit the redemption of my body. I am waiting to wit the redemption of my body. Though God has done it all, though God has taken care of it through the law, yet the things are seasonal as to types and shadows, as to the program of God, as to the time elements that are involved. That is to say, I am waiting for God to receive the Jews. When God received the Jews, I know then and there that the body has been redeemed. Because Paul said concerning the revelation when he saw it, if the casting away of the Jews be the reconciling of the world as to the revival of the Gentiles, what will the receiving of the Jews be but life from the dead as to the resurrection of them that are passed on, saying the change or the catching away of the church, the redemption of the body. Well, the Bible said we shall not exceed the dead in Christ, for the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then when we which are alive and remain shall be changed, and then together we shall be caught up to meet the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord, caught up into the air to be with the Lord. So that means that I am waiting for that beautiful adoption. Though it has taken place, I am under the tutorance until the time appointed of the Father. And the time appointed is that when the Jews come in. Because when they died, they represented the body being dead out of the presence of God, so that he would not have to destroy your body. That was the end of the body. The scapegoat had gone into the wilderness. Jesus was now dead. And the Jews, being a member of the Jesus body, was now dead. I was now free from the law of sin and death. For all had been fulfilled. And now the casting away of the Jews was the reconciling of the world, as to God looking upon my body as it had no sin, so that he could spare me. And that he could at the same time spare the Jews, in that he hath kept them in ignorance. Paul said, how great is the wonderful knowledge of God, that he hath placed the Jews in ignorance, so that he would not have to require it of them. To know to do good, then it is a sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. But in that the Jews does not know that Jesus is the Messiah, they do not know good nor evil as to salvation. though salvation is of the Jew. Yet they do not know, therefore it is not required of them, and God keeps them. Hath God cast away his people? Paul said, God forbid. But they have gone out that we might come in. So then he hath redeemed the world. But it is a spiritual thing, and the body is considered dead in the sight of God. As to your body of sin, the rent veil, as to the separation of the spirit from the body, the spirit being separated from the body at death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it, and the body has been planted in a watery grave in the name of Jesus. So this is why it is necessary to baptize in the name of Jesus. You should call the name of Jesus, because we have lost our identity and life, and we now are members of his body in particular as Christians, or Christ, or Jesus, the one that liveth forever and forever. For the promise is not as unto many, but as of one, even the church, whom he is the head of, that is to say, the members of his body. And our hope of glory is Christ Jesus within us. So we can see that as the Jews are beginning to come in now, Daniel's last week, then that seal that we spoke of, that's beginning to go to the Jews. The angels on the four corners of the earth, they can't hurt anything until these Jews are sealed. And when they are sealed, it will automatically mean the redemption of your body. And with the sealing of the Jews, out you go. With the sealing of the Jews, you go out. Because when the Jews are sealed, that is the body that's being sealed. That means that they have again been received by God. And in that they have been received by God, that means that that is the resurrection of the dead, the end of the days of the Gentiles. Well, the Bible said, if the casting away of the Jews at Calvary be the reconciling of the world, what will the receiving of the Jews be as to God sealing them in other than the resurrection from the dead? For ye shall not exceed the dead in Christ, the resurrection of the dead. For the dead shall in Christ shall rise first. And then you which are alive and remain, all of a sudden changed, and away we go. As God seals the Jews, the redemption of the body, to wit the adoption, or to come to the adoption, as to say the Jews, as to the law, coming back in, will prove that as Jesus was delivered for our offenses, so was he raised again for our justification. And the coming forth of the Jews will indicate our justification as to a finished product, as to the finishing of the tutorus and the time of the bar mitzvah and the change, in that we will automatically be changed in this body in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and that at the last trumpet, where as the Bible said, and the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. When you say the trump of God, I have a trump. You have a trump as an individual. And the Bible said, lift up your voice as a trumpet. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself is the voice of Almighty God, which is the trump of God. And he himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel. He shall descend with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So as to the finishing of the mysteries, something must happen. The Bible said in his voice sound like many waters when John saw him, indicating that he speaks through many people and that his voice is heard throughout the earth in his bodily membership. So then we can see by this that a great thing is taking place. Ye are gods and ye shall live forever. Ye are gods, but not having applied yourself, not having given yourself to God as one would that was in school, you have missed out on many things. The person that plays hooky from school, they may enjoy frolic and fishing and all the other things, but they are condoning ignorance and they are losing out all the time, because once you lose out of that daily tutoring, as the Bible said, being tutored under the time of the bar mitzvah, see, under tutors until the time appointed of the Father. See, when you lose out, you get out of the cycle. And you get everything scrambled up and you can't fit it all together. You sit in church and you pay no attention through one lesson. Paul said, I'm a preacher and a teacher. So you lose out in one lesson. The next time you can't get it all together. You get upset. You pout. You get melancholy. You act up, you find fault, you stay out a day or two, and then you're like scrambled eggs in your mind. You can't ever get it all together again. So, this means few there be that find it, but we do know by this that men are as gods, and there are some men that are gods, and they're going to live forever. Though they die like men, from their lack of knowledge and lack of understanding, they're going to come to the right knowledge, and they're going to come to the right understanding, and they're going to live forever. They're going to live forever. This people that I'm speaking to right now that are eternal, that cannot die because they cannot sin, and they are alive eternally and forevermore. But they have not comprehended to the extent as to the redemption of their body. But it will come. Let's stand together. Many things that we could say to you. We could keep on commenting. But remember, you are children that are heirs to glory. Now there's an inheritance, a great and a mighty inheritance. And you should patiently wait upon God, for it will happen. It will happen. Don't forget, it will happen. God has said it will happen, and it will happen. The songwriter said, and it happened, just like he said. He healed the cripple, and he raised the dead. For it happened, just like he said. Well, glory to God. I love the Word of God. I think on it all the time. To meditate in it day and night, because it is for sure. It can't be changed. It can't be altered. It is the same to every generation. It will come to pass precisely the way that he hath said that it would. And we are the great heirs as to faith in the Word of God. You love the Lord? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Savior. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild sea no more. And though the tempest may sweep, although the wild storm it be, then Jesus, I am sailing evermore. Sing it again. Or we've anchored the soul of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep, although the wild storm it be, but in Jesus I'm safe. The altars are open. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep, over the wild storm it be, but in Jesus I am safe. Can you sing it again? For we've anchored our soul
of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Come into my heart, oh come into my heart, just come into my heart, Lord Jesus, just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Can you sing it with me? Oh, come into my heart. Into my heart, Lord Jesus, today, oh come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Let's sing this little chorus. Jesus gave her water.
Jesus gave her water that was not from the well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. Oh, Jesus gave her water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her water, and she went forth to tell. She went away a-singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't. Gave her some water, and it wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. For Jesus gave her the water that wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. Oh, Jesus gave her the water that wasn't. Jesus gave her the water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water. Can you sing it with me again? Jesus gave her that water, and it wasn't from the wells. Jesus gave her the water, she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Jesus gave her the water that wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went forth to tell. She went away and she came back bringing others to the water.
One more time.
That wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water.
One more time.
Jesus gave her the water. It wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave her that water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well.
Let's give him a hand, gang. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's sing this little song, I'm longing for Jesus to come back. Truthfully, every Christian, the Bible said, and to those that love his appearing, he will appear the second time without sin unto salvation to them that look for him and to them that love his appearing. A lot of people don't love his appearing. They're not looking for him. As a matter of fact, as I said, they're wanting to sing that song, Wait a Little Longer, Jesus. But if you really love him and you're trying to do your very best, then you can sing this song without any problem. Sing it with me.
I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my King, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing.
Sing it with me now.
Are we longing for Jesus to come back? We long for Jesus Christ the King, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky. Up there were angels.
Sing it with me.
For we're longing for Jesus to come back. We long for Jesus Christ the King, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. I will longing for Jesus to come back. And I long for Jesus Christ, my King, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels.
Can you sing it with me again? Are you really longing for Jesus?
Longing Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ my King, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing.
Just one more time.
And alone for Jesus Christ my King, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout. After all this life is over and my burdens have been lifted and I stand upon the mountain all so tall, looking o'er into the city that my Lord said preparing gives me faith that I can make it after all. After all this life is over and my burden has been lifted and I stand upon the mountain also tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he prepared, gives me faith that I can make it.
Can you sing it with me?
After all this life, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, also tall, looking over into the city that my heart's peace preparing gives me faith that I. After all this life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, oh so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he. Preparing gives me faith.
Can you sing it again with me?
For after all the life is over and my burdens have been lifted and I stand upon the mountain also that my heart's peace prepared gives me faith that I can make it after all.
Can you sing it one more time? Baby?
For after all this life is over and my burdens have been lifted and we stand upon the mountain also over into the city that my Lord, said he, preparing gives me faith that I can make it. Somebody say hallelujah. Can you give him a hand? Hallelujah. I believe that we can make it. Hallelujah. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. All the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and I shall. Can you sing with me? For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels who stand on the sea and the land, and shall be
everything is getting close, folks. Closer and closer, it's coming. Everything is getting ready. I'm longing for that moment. I'm longing for that moment. Getting closer and closer. Oh, we'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. Shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time. Let's sing it just one more time together. If you believe what I'm saying, sing it with me. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and the land, and time. Just once again, for time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angels shall stand on the sea and land, and time shall be. Close our eyes. If you've not made the commitment of your soul to the Lord Jesus, you need to make it. The writer said, I'm persuaded to believe that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against the great day. And I'm persuaded the same thing, folks. I believe that his grace is sufficient, and I believe that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against the great day. I say again, you're my children. And if you're my children and you love me, then Jesus said, you will keep my commandments. You will do the things that I say. And I say that we should be holy in body and in spirit. That we should cast down imagination in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You know, when something comes to you, if it's not love and peace, if it's not that that is virtuous and holy, if it's not that which is godly that maketh for good things unto God and to your brother, you should never have it. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Brother Michael to bring his little one up here. He asked if we dedicate his little one, and his wife will come up and bring the little one. Then we'll dedicate him. I could see something in dedicating this little one tonight. I appreciate my children being here, my natural, my spiritual children as they come in and out with us. I appreciate my brothers and sisters, their children. I appreciate my little ones. My little grandchildren, sometimes they get a little bit out of sorts, little children do. They're like that. But they're very precious. They don't understand. Jesus said, unless you become as a little child, you would in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. You must first become as a little child. A little child is so innocent, there's nothing between them and God. I watched my little baby Joe. He was sitting down there in the chair. He'd been asleep. He slept. He was happy. He was all rested up and ready to go. And my wife set him over in the high chair in that his mother and daddy had gone off somewhere for the moment. And little Joe was just as contented as he could be. And I looked at him and I thought, to think, now, not one thing, little Joe, between you and God. Not one thing between you and God. Everything is just perfect, little Joe, between you and God. And he didn't have any problems except his mamma's candy tree. And he was trying to get to it. And she finally got the idea and let him eat of the candy tree. And he was just as happy as a lark. Lest you become as a little child. See, that's what it's got to be, dedicating this little one tonight. What's his name, Mike? Hermit name. Okay. Priscilla. Melody. Amber. 7 days. All right, let's dedicate the little one. And while we're dedicating the little one, that makes me think of what the Bible said concerning when I come to make up my jewels. And he said, and when I come to make up my jewels, I will spare you as a man spareth his son. He said, the reason that I will do this is because that ye speak often of me. Ye speak often of me. So we're going to dedicate the little one. They'll come right over here, if you will, Mike. We're going to dedicate the little one. And while we're praying, dedicating the little one, I want you to just look in this direction and pray with us. It's a beautiful, beautiful little thing. Heavenly Father, we know that children are gifts from God, a heritage from Almighty God. And the Lord, we thank you for the little one. And Lord, we thank you for all of our little ones. Dear God, we're so grateful to be able to have the little ones, to watch them run and play and to grow up. And Lord, it is so sad to us that they are harassed and molested and taken away in death and in sorrow and by cruel hands. Lord, they mistreat them. But we know that someday, somewhere, dear God, will find every one of them beyond the river of time. And, oh God, every one of them will be waiting, even those that were cruelly mistreated. Lord, your gracious, loving hand has picked them up somewhere and kept them in store for brokenhearted mothers and fathers. Lord, they that are willing to wait and trust you with them, to meet you there, to find out, Heavenly Father, that they're not lost at all, but preserve unto your eternal care, and that hearts will again sing with the wonderful, wonderful rhythm of God. I pray thee, O God, that you'll bless this little one, bless Michael and his wife. Lord, even as you have given the little one to them, we give the little one unto thee, to dedicate it unto thee, that it might be thine, for they give it back unto thee, Lord, that it might be thine, that you might all the days of its life watch over it, Heavenly Father, to take care of it, Lord, to feed it when it's hungry, to provide for it all along life's way in the problems of life, Father, to make its enemies to be at peace with it, and oh God, when people rise up against it, that it is your child, and as a father you will rise up against them, Lord, that you'll keep fears and frustration and sickness and anxieties and all the problems of life away from this little one, to shield it all the days of its life, to watch over it. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will provide for it in every way. Provide for Michael and his wife. Help them to bring the little one up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. God, that they all can be happy and rejoice together in Jesus. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Let's sing this chorus, I Love Him. Can we sing that for me? I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in his book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. All right, let's lift our hands again. Close our eyes. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Ask Brother Don Kleinitz to come up and dismiss us. Don's coming. Brought to my remembrance that more than 50,000 pieces of literature was put into the hands of the people all over the nation. Into the hands of many people from foreign nations. Let's keep up the good work. Let's double our efforts. Let's really do something for God. Let's triple the effort and do something for God.